This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han, with the top business stories of the day. But very quickly, Han, it's coming through the news of that bombing, a suspected terrorist attack in Manchester in England. 19 dead and scores hurt. The news will be carrying more on that later on, the top of the hour at 9 a.m. So let's come back to business stories. MK Land has been hit with a multi-million dollar tax bill.
All right, so the Inland Revenue Board, IRB, this month appeared to be on this spree here. So latest casualty, so to speak, MK Land hit with income taxes and penalties worth 80.77 million ringgit. Now, this is the third company, or at least third high-profile company that has been mentioned in the news who have been penalized by the IRB, the other two being Magnum and also Country Heights. I know Country Heights, this was announced on early this month, May 9th, I believe, with Tan Sri Lee Kim Yew's FDs, fixed deposits of some 126 million ringgit in a foreign-owned bank that apparently had been seized by the IRB. Then late last week, Magnum and its unit, Magnum Holdings, served with some assessments and penalties of almost half a billion ringgit, 476.5. million.
Han, on that Tan Sri Lee Kim Yew story, it wasn't his personal taxes that was the issue.
Correct.
It was, in fact, a company that Country Heights had a stake in, and that was the source of the problem, isn't it?
Right.
Just to clarify, it was not him failing to pay his personal taxes.
Yeah, and he has come up with a letter intended for friends and I believe shareholders that went viral. But we are still waiting to hear more details about his side of the story. But nevertheless, when you look at Magnum and also Country Heights and also MK Land, apparently these companies have come out to say that they do not agree with these moves by the IRB, and they might plan to basically challenge that. But nevertheless, when you look at the tax years for which these supposed non-payments happened, for Country Heights it was 20 years ago, like 97, 98. For Magnum, it's relatively more recent, but still going back to 2008, and also another one from 2011 to 2015. So more recent, but nevertheless, it just goes to show the kind of delayed nature in the IRB's actions. Right? Either 20 years or almost a decade ago, then only now they're issuing those fines. So one then has to wonder, where were the tax compliance people for these respective companies, or their tax accountants? What happened there, what fell through the cracks? And certainly, I think for the broader business community as a whole, you better make sure your taxes are in order, people, because who knows? It may not happen now, but 10, 20 years from now, and the IRB comes after you, and these fines are no joke, up to what, half a billion right here for Magnum's case.
Absolutely. It is a duty for all, all who are liable for taxes to pay them. And that's what Tan Sri Lee Kim Yew also said. He says, he believes in taxes. He believes in paying his taxes. Maybe one of these days we'll get him on the breakfast grill and have a chat with him about what exactly is happening.
Yeah, once he's able to comment on this ongoing matter here. But I think another number for all of us to latch on here, because according to the Prime Minister, back in March this year, he told Parliament that the uncollected income tax was estimated at 6.8 billion ringgit as of December 31st.
This is the Prime Minister you're talking about.
Yeah, this is the Prime Minister. So, if it's 6.8 billion and already you've got the likes of Magnum, Country Heights, and also MK Land, these are some of the names that are cropping up just within the last few weeks. Just goes to show, who else, makes up the other, 5 billion? Yeah, 5 billion or so that of uncollected income taxes, right? Like, who's not been paying their taxes? And again, if true, if rightfully so, they need to pay up, really.
Absolutely.
Be it now, 10 or 20 years later.
IHH apparently coy about a likely buy of Fortis.
All right, so this comes on the back of IHH having disposed of their stake in Apollo Hospitals. That's in India there. And also, we recall part of that disposal happened in the first quarter of this year. Hence, we saw that bump in IHH's first quarter earnings. But in more recent news, they have fully disposed of all their stake in Apollo Hospitals. So now question is, with IHH sitting on a booty of about 1.26. Is it booty or bounty? I don't know. Maybe same thing.
A bounty is something you put on somebody's head.
Oh, as, so booty. I was thinking of something else. Yeah. Is that radio friendly?
Booty is a treasure.
Ah, yes. Okay. Oh, still okay. I thought that was a different kind of connotation.
Moving right along.
Yes. How many times can I say booty in the next 30 seconds? But, you know, with IHH sitting on a war chest of 1.26 billion ringgit, question now is then how are they going to use it, right? Because are they going to still stay in India? So now, according to this report, they might eye the second largest hospital operator in India, that being, a Fortis, right?
Okay. Also in the news, Alipay fully accepted all 7-Eleven outlets from this Wednesday, which is tomorrow.
Yeah. So, Sharad, I know you are a frequent customer at these convenience stores for your Mentos, I believe. What does that say about the state of your breath? That's terrible.
Well, no, you can... There's not mint. There's all kinds of Mentos available. Thank you very much. Fruity Mentos, you know, the extra sour Mentos.
Yeah, you would go for the fruity Mentos.
Moving right along,
yes.
Tell us about this.
All right, so now you've got Alipay apparently rolling out its services, you know, at 7-Eleven outlets. And it's interesting because it appears to be targeted at Chinese tourists.
So do we have...
figure, right?
Yeah, so clearly we have enough Chinese tourists coming into the country and also availing themselves of what is available at 7-Elevens for... 7-Eleven people to think that this is a really important move.
Yeah, and so we have a clip here from Tan Sri Vincent Tan, who is the majority shareholder in 7-Eleven Malaysia, essentially talking about the prospects, you know, of or the intentions of rolling out Alipay at these 7-Eleven outlets.
Merchants have the opportunity to tap into the growing mainland Chinese tourist industry, and mainland Chinese tourists will be able to make payments in Malaysia with more ease.
Again, that was Tan Sri Vincent Tan talking about the ease of having Alipay in 7-Eleven outlets. No, but I mean, real quick, so Alipay is very prevalent in China. If you combine, say, WeChat Pay, and also Alipay combined, and these are mobile payment platforms, right? Apparently, their penetration rate in China is 7 times higher than the average penetration rate for the top 5 major mobile bank apps in China. So they're far, you know, a lot more prevalent in that space, and looks like it's not just within China, you know, looks like their footprint is also being rolled out to Malaysia as well.
I think the ambitions to go cashless, to the extent that you believe that that's good, the question for me has always been, Han, whether you can pay for small things like a Mentos. I'm not endorsing Mentos, by the way. I don't really have it that often. But, and that would be really an important step, because for so much of, you know, the use of our plastic, that has been a real barrier. You always had to spend so much in order to use, and go cashless.
And my sticking point is this, very often you go to these small convenience stores and let's say you only have a 50 ringgit, you just came out of it, just withdrew cash from the ATM and you want to buy that Mentos, here we go again, Mentos, and you only have that 50 ringgit. And then the cashier will ask, do you have small change? And very often you don't, and then becomes this awkward time where they have to fiddle around for cash and try to take from the tip jar and whatnot, right? So at least with these forms of mobile payments, you don't have to worry about having exact change anymore. You just basically hand over your phone, and it's not just you've got a lot of other players being involved in this space as well. You look at Samsung Pay, right? They have made a big concerted push in trying to promote Samsung Pay here in Malaysia. CIMB Pay, they have a product there as well. Google Pay, I don't think it's as prevalent as we think they are. Well, at least not in this market, and not that I know of. Google Wallet. So nevertheless, there are certainly many, many global players poised to really tap into this space and perhaps facilitate us Malaysians becoming a cashless society.
Speaking of cash, microfinance in Malaysia benefits over 1 million enterprises. And that's fascinating because a huge spread compared to what we were just talking about on the Breakfast Grill. well, you know, the creative industries, a much smaller cohort receiving huge amounts of funding, not grants, but funding from a government agency. Here, microfinance and a million recipients.
Right. So just real quick, by definition here, microfinancing are small business loans or loans to small businesses ranging from just 1,000 ringgit to 50,000 ringgit. You know, so apparently there's a big push to really let these SMEs gain access to this kind of capital, perhaps that traditional lenders are less willing to, you know, part with their cash for these you know, small businesses. So perhaps this will be a good sign and diversify the kind of capital streams that are available for some of these small businesses.
Okay, we're coming up to the news at 9 o'clock, and then after that we'll have the open numbers on the stock market and more analysis on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.